Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur? Concur with what, sir? Do you concur?
All right. Good to be back. Now, I understand it's unacceptable and frustrating that Ja Morant and Zion and LeBron and all these top guys, especially early on, didn't want to participate in the dunk contest, or the fact that they could embarrass themselves or lose or whatever it is. That's unfortunate. But should we really do this every year? I think it's possible that we just have seen almost everything. Think about it. Blake Griffin jumped over a car. Mm-hmm. D. Brown went blindfolded or covered his eyes. Cedric Sabalos went blindfolded. I mean, I think we've run out of ideas for dunks, and we should get rid of the contest. What say you?
I think it was Gerald Green out here in Las Vegas who jumped up and blew the candle out on the cupcake on the rim.
One? Yeah.
That's like super creative.
Do you concur?
Yeah, we might be. But again, going back to your, that's the point that I was going to make, is that I think the contest would still be awesome if the best players in the world who were great dunkers wanted to actually participate. Sean Kemp did this, man.
Yeah.
And then Dominique and Michael Jordan. How do they not, like, owe it to their fans to go back and look like the history of the league? Dominique and Jordan gave us some of the best memories ever, and Dominique still got robbed, in my opinion. So, yes, it's on them. 100% it is, because it would still be must-watch TV every single year, but based on their decisions not to, just get rid of it.
It's a weird generation, isn't it? No, come on. I mean, really. Where I who would think that you would say, I don't want to go against these guys. I want to join and team up with them.
No, I know.
No one saw that coming. No one saw, I don't want to participate in a dunk contest. And nobody would see, like, I'm not going to give a strong performance in the All-Star game.
Well, we all know about the Kevin Durant burner situation.
Uh-huh.
That also ties into the egos are so fragile in the NBA nowadays.
Yes.
Larry Bird, where have you gone? You think Larry Bird would shy down to anybody? That's why the people that...
Afraid to be criticized, look bad.
One of the dumbest opinions I've ever heard in modern day sports is Larry Bird would not be good in today's NBA. It's the most inaccurate thing I think I've ever heard. He would be better.
Yeah.
And again, he would be in all this stuff.
It's more surprising that the Pokemon card with Logan Paul went for $16 million than Steve Ballmer. He lost $40 million, and it's still only 23% of his holdings with Microsoft. Do you concur?
Oh, the Pokemon is more surprising.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah, a Pokemon card actually went for $16 million. I can't wrap my head around that. I also have, how do we relate to Ballmer? Can't.
He loses $40 million, and it's the drop in the bucket.
Oh, I thought...
So, billion. My fault. Billion. No, that's my fault. Billion.
Yeah, 40.
I wrote down million. It's billion.
No, well, I mean...
That's 23% of his holdings.
Yeah, no, I'm not...
That's nothing.
Because he's worth... Then, obviously, he's worth around, $200 billion, if not... Yeah, $250 billion. Some of the people nowadays, Bezos comes to mind, this guy as well, they're going to be pushing trillions if they're not already, getting there. So it's got to be the Pokemon card.
Okay. So everyone's coming up with an idea. Now, this is what happens when football ends and all you have is the NBA and the, some people aren't getting in the Olympics, but everyone decides, I don't think you can stop tanking in the NBA. Do you concur?
Well, I don't concur. And I think there's a pretty good example of what could happen in the NBA, but this is like an audio version of a Daily Double on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Let's go to the tape. This is Stan Van Gundy making what I think is a great case that could stop tanking tomorrow.
Number one is I'd get rid of the draft. No draft. You've still got the salary cap. If you want to go give Cooper Flagg $45 million a year coming out of college, do it. He's a free agent. Everybody coming out is a free agent. With no draft, there's no incentive to lose. There's none at all. It's not a matter of your odds or anything else. There is no incentive.
Now, do you concur with that? I'm going to turn the tables on you.
No, I don't like that. The other thing is you have to find a way, Adam Silver, who is now might go down as one of the worst commissioners ever. You play too many games, and now you're thinking that you can't expand. What a bad idea this is to go to add two more teams. In any event, you need these bad teams to improve. And they've actually done a bad job with how they've structured the percentage now with the lottery odds, because you got the Dallas Maverick thing last year.
Well, that's why I think what Stan said made so much sense, and that would solve the tanking.
Well, but how many bad teams have you seen? Washington's bad every year. The other teams are bad every year. It's like, how am I going to improve if I can't land in the top three, top four?
That's how you're going to have money to spend on other teams to go after a guy like Cooper Flake.
But from a small market, though?
It doesn't matter. You're going to be able to offer him if the Lakers are up against the cap and the Warriors are up against the cap and so are the Celtics and the Knicks. And here's the Milwaukee Bucks or fill in the blank with whatever small market. You can say, hey, guys, there's still a salary cap. We got $200 million to spend. Hey, Cooper Flake, do you want to come and play for us for $45 million a year, or do you want to go to the Knicks and play for $800,000? Whatever the differences would be.
Well, there's also the case of every other job in America. I can pick where I want to work. Here, they pick me. I mean, I want to be able to pick where I go and where, you know, that's what Kobe did.
In theory, then the players could do that as well.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to take the most money. If you want to take $1 million with the Lakers, you could do that as opposed to $35 million and go play with... You know, Utah. The draft, the lottery thing, the ping pong balls, dude. It's skinny. Look at this now. Now, this year might be an extreme example because the class is so good coming out. So what happens when the draft class has two guys in it that are good? Are we going to get nine teams tanking? But I agree with you. Like, do we really have to expand to 32 teams if this is how bad it's going to get?
Yeah. The best idea I heard was you can't, if you get a top four pick, then you can't get another top four pick the next year. I don't mind that. Remember how it worked out for the Cavs?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Would they get the number one pick three times? Whatever it was? May he rest in peace, Robert Duvall. An incredible resume, an iconic career. His best role was Lieutenant Kilgore, the surfing fanatic. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Apocalypse Now.
His best role as opposed to best movie, otherwise Godfather 1 and 2 would take the cake.
Yeah, best, although he was great, is Higgins, Tom Higgins.
Okay, so I have to go back and watch some of these movies because it's been so long, including Apocalypse Now. My takeaway was that wasn't a very rewatchable movie, but I was also young, so I need to give it another shot. I also, this is another one that fits that bill. I recall really thinking Colors was awesome.
Okay.
But I don't remember it that well, because that came out in the 80s, so it's been a long time since I watched it. I would say his role, along with Sean Penn in Colors, would challenge Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
Do you think that's fair?
Get that. I got to go back and watch Colors. I watched Apocalypse Now about 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
wild.
I remember
the fact that they show up and they go, what happened to Brando? Like, the guy shows up, he's a blimp. Mm-hmm. He put on so much weight, they had to film him in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, how nuts that guy was. Let's revisit this again. Expand. Niners-Rams, week one in Australia is a big mistake. Do you concur?
You don't have to have a marquee game in this spot.
That's right.
You could honestly treat this like a Thursday night game on Amazon Prime. You could give us...
Whether it's Wednesday, Friday, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, whatever it's going to be.
It's great that football's back, whatever. You got the champs opening up on the Thursday night.
Sure.
That's fine. So put whoever against the Seahawks. You don't have to hit a home run here. This game could decide the one seed.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. I think it's a terrible... Again, we had somebody on last year talking about how... I think it was probably Warren Sharp, who said Goodell's going to do whatever he can to make every single penny possible by making these marquee teams play in the like worst spots imaginable. It probably won't care. Remember a couple of years ago how the 49ers had the worst rest disadvantage like ever going back?
Yeah.
Completely screwed that team. And I don't. Here's the thing. If he really wants to play now Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you could put the champs opening up on Wednesday. Then you could give us the Titans against another bottom feeder on a Thursday night. You think people are not going to watch? But with him, he needs to hit it out of the park, you know, to begin the year.
Yeah.
We're back,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Here you go, Rams, Niners. And then you get the champs playing at home against whomever. And then Friday is going to be another one from Brazil. I'd say it's a little excessive.
Yep. Nine and count. All right.
SGA does not have to win the MVP. Do you concur?
Sure, absolutely.
Even if he plays 65-plus games.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many games he plays. But this could get wild here with how many guys won't be eligible based on the games played.
I think Cunningham might pull this off.
I know, yeah. That's absolutely true.
I'm going to regret that during our pizzeria segment from months ago when I shot the guy's idea down. He bet it. I'm like, come on.
100 to 1.
Look at the guys he has to overcome.
200 to 1, whatever he got. Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
The huge number. And lastly here, we came on the show here an hour and 10 minutes ago right as the women's USA hockey team won gold. Olympic hockey is the bee's knees. Do you concur?
100%. Totally agree. It's just like the first round of the NHL playoffs. It always delivers. When this was, when was it? 8 years ago, Germany was like 100 to 1 and they went to the final. But this is now 5 straight games that have gone to overtime. Finland's down 2-0 late. They look dead and buried. They come back and win. Canada was lucky to win. We almost lost.
Yeah.
And the women almost blew it today as a $5 favorite.
They should have lost the game.
Yeah. They're down 1-0 with less than 2 minutes. So once you get, you know, the nerves and the stress and, oh, my God, we could blow this, and that stuff enters your mind, anything can happen.
Yep.
And you can just play. You can get a hot goalie, too.
Sure.
And a goalie could stand. And that gal made some great saves today for Canada. But that would have been – they outscored the opponents 31-1 going into that game and beat Canada 5-0.
Yeah.
But there they were, 1-0, 2 minutes left.
All right, NBA futures coming up. Some good prices out there on teams to win X amount of games and a really fun prop on Con Knepel setting the all-time rookie record.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. Good to have you on board today here on a Thursday. We're live in downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot. Some NBA futures here. I want to throw these at you. Available at FanDuel. They have up to win X amount of games, right? And you can go all the way down, I think, to like 35 for some of these teams. But if you go all the way to the top of the table, you can bet which teams are going to hit 60 wins, which teams are going to hit 65 wins, etc. So Oklahoma City is minus 550 to win 60 games. They are currently 42-14. They have 26 games left, and they have the second hardest schedule remaining in the entire league. They're going to win 18 more games. Yeah. They're going to go 18-8, no problem at that number.
Mama mia, if you have Detroit most wins. Oh, God.
I would actually think about like taking the no on that.
How about the Spurs run them down and get the one seed?
Sure they can.
That's another great angle, how well they're playing.
They're three back. They're 38-16.
Got to be concerned, yep. No
and
doubt.
San Antonio has the 10th hardest schedule remaining.
Mm-hmm.
But so Oklahoma City is minus 550. The Pistons to win 60 games plus 148. They need 20, or they have 29 games left. They are 40-13. So they need to go 20-9, and they have the seventh hardest schedule remaining. But they play teams like the Wizards twice. They got the Pelicans, the Pacers, the Nets twice. They got the Bucks again. They got the Grizzlies coming up again. I assume that they're going to win almost all those games against bad teams. And then they're not going to like lose all their tough games. They'll probably win a good 50% of those.
Yeah.
Because they're a really good basketball team. I think plus 148 is actually not bad. The Spurs are plus 320. They have to win 22 more games to get there, but also to win 65 plus. That means OKC would have to finish 23-3. That pays plus 630.
Mm.
The Pistons would have to go 25-4. That's 28-1. Any chance they could stretch it out to 25-4 over their last 29 games?
Yeah, that's aggressive.
That's very aggressive, but I think them winning 60 is absolutely doable.
I don't see anything with the divisions, but I think the way to attack this is updated win totals. So Minnesota's got the third toughest schedule left. and they're 49.5
mm-hmm.
and they're not playing well. And who loses, who blows more games and lose to bad teams more than the T-Wolves?
Oh, they're right there.
I can't see them going over, and that is plus money, too, at some spots. Lakers are 33-21. They're 49.5. They have a tough schedule. The mess with Durant now, they're 52.5. I don't see how they're going to go over either. Cavs over 52.5. Most games left against teams that are tanking. Golden State under 43.5. Curry with the runner's knee. And they're big into load management. Clippers over 41.5. Easy, third easiest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tankers left. And hello, here comes great Kawhi Leonard again. We're still one of the best players in the world, and he beat Houston by himself with that great fourth quarter on the road.
I think the results from the Clippers coming up over the final couple of months do not match the current narrative with the team. And that is they traded James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say for pennies on the dollar, do with that what you will. I would disagree with that if Darius Garland can get healthy.
Right, that's right.
I think they're going to be more competitive as long as Kawhi's on the court. Like tonight, they're at home. They're catching five against Denver. Denver doesn't have Payton. There was no Gordon in this game tonight. Joker's fine. Long break for him. Are we sure the Nuggets should be laying five here on the road against the Clippers with the way that Kawhi and this team has been playing?
Denver 24th in defense.
Yeah, I think they're going to be more. Mm-hmm. As long as Kawhi says, no, man, I'm going to be out there playing and maybe we can make a run for the playoffs still. That's feels like a bet on team to me.
Yeah.
And what was their win total, you said?
41.5.
They have to get 16 more wins.
Plus, the teams behind them don't want to win.
That's true.
So I think they can get this as well. And, the division's tough with the Atlantic, too, because the Knicks have really flexed their muscle in some of these big games. And then we're up in the air with the Tatum thing. You know, I'll see how it goes. And I know there was some tinfoil hat guy that NBC moved a game against the Sixers in March to prime time, and they're thinking, oh, maybe that's his return, whatever. But, you know, certainly they're playing great ball. But even if he comes back, what's that going to look like? And how's that going to work chemistry-wise? But it's just when you're ready to fall in love with the Knicks, they go out and have a horrible loss.
Yep.
And stink up the joint.
Did you catch the Hoop Collective lately? They were talking about awards on a recent podcast.
And they make concern maybe flag, they sit flag, look at Knipple.
Bontemps said that if the Mavericks eventually say flag, like you played enough and the Hornets are like true contenders in that division and a playoff team, and they continue to be this good of a team, Knipple's season might be too difficult to ignore for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
There's
something there. Yeah.
There's also a very fun prop up right now at FanDuel because that kid has 183 threes going into the second half of the season. He would set the all-time record by making 207 on the year. I'm looking at this. I'm breaking it down with the whole schedule. So he's made an average of 3.4 made threes per game this season. That number is actually sitting at 4.2 made threes in five February games. If he continues the pace overall full season, number 207 would come either on March 3rd against Dallas or March 4th against Boston. The March 4th game against Boston pays plus 320. The game against Dallas pays plus 480. Now, Houston, entering tonight's action, they are very good against three-pointers. They're seventh best in the NBA. They limited Khan to 205 from deep on February 5th, not that long ago. Then they get the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers actually have the third worst three-point defense in the NBA. They have played three times already this year. Khan, 2 of 10, 5 of 9, and 3 of 7. The attempts are there, not the makes for the most part. Washington has the eighth worst three-point defense, and Khan has eviscerated them this year. Chicago has the worst three-point defense in the entire NBA. So there is a stretch coming up where he's playing back-to-back to back teams that are absolutely putrid against a three-point shot. So maybe it comes a little bit before then. I'm looking at as early as the game against Portland on February 28th, not the one on March 10th, February 28th. That pays 10-1 if he gets out of the gates here hot against some of these bad teams. Houston's not included in that bad team category, but the three teams after that certainly are. This guy can go on runs of having back-to-back games where he makes five in each. So It's a very fun prop to look at. It probably lands, again, like I said, against Dallas or Boston. But if he comes out hot, I think Portland would be worth a flyer there at 10-1.
All right.
They're good. I got to tell you, with the way that team has been trending for a month and a half plus, I don't want to see them in the playoffs. I think if I'm one of the higher seeded teams in the Eastern Conference, I would look at that division and say, yeah, Orlando, thank you. We'll play them any day of the week. Atlanta, my God, please give me them every single time.
That might be the number one bet. They have to go 17-10. They're not playing well. Orlando's going to win 45 games? I can't see it.
No, and
they've been a big disappointment.
Yeah. I also don't think Miami's going to scare anybody in the playoffs.
No. Yeah.
So I think Charlotte, with that lineup that they have, multiple lineups where you interchange like four or five of their guys, and they're one of the best in the entire NBA now for a long stretch of time.
Well, who wouldn't want to see them play Detroit again after the Donnybrook?
Sure.
You could have some great first-round matchups.
No doubt. Hmm? Yeah, but this team is big time on the uptick. And going to be dangerous, man. And some huge numbers were out there on that team. Division, playoffs, you name it. The win total, 24.5. Come on. The alternate win totals. But now they just need to pick it up where they kind of left off here going into the break.
Yeah. And you might have something there with the Sacramento bet. Worst team ATS, lost 14 in a row, and horrendous ATS in the fourth quarter. If they could lose 30 in a row.
Yeah, here's what the Kings, by the way, with their history now going on two decades of drafting players.
Very high. Whiffs. They took Bagley over Luka.
Luka.
And they had a guy on staff who coached Luka.
Yeah.
All-time whiff.
That's one of the all-timers, and they have, I don't know, 15 other ones. They'll probably somehow they'll get the number one pick this year and screw it up.
College basketball rolling. Baseball season right around the corner. Perfect time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Get every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, full show replays, our all-new MLB betting guide. Great job by Jensen and Burke. Detailed team previews, stats glossary, key analytics to know, sharp betting insight, and the player perspective from former pitcher and VSiN host Jensen Lewis. Start today just $9.99 or save 50%. With an annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it today. Join now.
On that note, baseball bets have been added to the portfolio, including the World Baseball Classic. And I bet on a race to 10 home runs. I'll tell you why I made it coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paulie, you were mentioning the betting guide available now at the website, vsin.com/subscribe. Also, I was out. Welcome back, by the way, buddy. Good to see you on vacation. First day back here. So we typically record Pod of the Futures every Tuesday morning. Wasn't here for that one. So that was JVT and Adam Burke. I would highly encourage everybody to go and listen to this episode with Adam Burke and his breakdowns specifically on what to expect from the Kansas City Royals this year. Whether or not he's selling or buying the Detroit Tigers, and his take on a player for the Milwaukee Brewers. Oh, he was awesome. And he loves baseball. I remember talking to Adam about it a couple years ago. I said, is this your favorite sport to bet? He goes, oh, yeah. I don't know if it still is or not, but very good breakdown with those three things. On that note, I did make a couple of bets when we were on vacation with Major League Baseball. The World Baseball Classic starts in March. Japan's going to be loaded. USA might be the best roster it's ever been. They are pretty much the same number, like almost pick them to win it. But then you go down a little bit on the board and notice the Dominican Republic. And I saw a plus 460 out there on that team. Here is the lineup we're talking about for the Dominicans. Juan Soto, Vlad Jr., Jose Ramirez, Geraldo Perdomo, Julio Rodriguez, Ketel Marte, Junior Caminero, Fernando Tatis, Ellie De La Cruz, I think I saw all those players are confirmed. Did not see about Manny Machado. The pitching staff. Now, Freddie Peralta is out, which hurts. He told the Mets he's going to concentrate on opening day and the regular season. But Christopher Sanchez, who almost pulled off the NL Cy Young, he's in. Luis Castillo has been designated to the pitcher's pool. Sandy Alcantara is back. There's no Duran, the closer, but their pitching is an upgrade, and they had an early exit in 2017, the second round, and in 2023 with group play. That lineup is, ridiculously good. So at plus 460, I had to take a nibble on that to bet them to win the World Baseball Classic. That, to me, was worth it. Mm-hmm. And also, here's another bet that I made. Going to have some fun to begin the year. Caesars/Will Hill is offering a bet, race to 10 home runs, the first player to get there.
That's great. And I am excited for the season, no doubt.
Yeah.
And another thing is, enjoy it, because they're not going to go for a salary cap, the players, so I don't know what's going to happen in 2027.
Well, from what I was listening to on vacation again, the little bit I was listening to about baseball, every single person just assumes that we're going to have a full season lockout next year.
Oh, boy.
That's great.
No, nothing?
How about we save the World Baseball Classic and the World Cup for next year then?
Yeah.
So here's the players that I bet for, and it's all on the same team. But I took Yordan Alvarez 20-1. No complaints from the ankle. From what I was reading, should be good to go. Christian Walker at 30-1. And Jose Altuve at 150-1. Here are the reasons why. It's all schedule-based, for the most part. They have a four-game set hosting the Angels. Projected starters for the Halos, Kikuchi, Soriano, Detmers, and Grayson Rodriguez. In his career against Kikuchi, Alvarez has three home runs. Then it's a three-game set at home against the Red Sox. Boston opens up with a three-game set against Cincinnati. So we're talking about their 4-5 and then 1 starters against the Astros. Bello, Aviado, and Crochet. Obviously won't be easy with him. But then after that, the Astros play 3 at the A's in Sacramento. Remember what happened last year to begin the year?
Yeah.
With all those runs and all those home runs?
How about Kurtz, the third choice?
Well, he's got,
wow.
If he was any lower than that, I think I'd have to take the guy. But then they also, after 3 in Sacramento against the A's, the Astros play 3 at the Rockies, and there's only 1 day off in the first 13 games.
Uh-huh.
So I don't expect somebody to have 10 home runs in the first 13 days of the season. If they do, they're going to hit 100 on the year. Also, I don't need any rain in Denver, please, that part of the season. Walker, for what it's worth, has absolutely... Now, he played with Arizona for a long time, faced the Rockies a lot. He's crushed the Rockies, 9 home runs in his career. Altuve has 2 off of Detmers and 1 off of Kikuchi. But we're talking about getting the Rockies pitching staff. Now, the A's are going to be improved this year. But again, we're talking 3 games in Sacramento. And then the back end of the rotation for the Red Sox to begin. And then 4 against the Angels. I just thought, okay, it's a fun prop to have some action on. Yeah. You're probably going to be paid off by, early May? For one of these bets. And then again, you have to beat Judge, you have to beat Schwarber, you have to beat Otani.
Yeah.
Any of those three guys could have this thing done in the first 20, by April 27th. You're like, oh, that was fun while it lasted. I had no prayer against them. But that's what happens when you take somebody else, not name those three guys, to win a home run race.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me was a fun one to get involved
with.
Yeah.
Very good. The Colorado Rockies are minus 450 most losses. Oh, man.
Are they going to run away with it again this year?
Looks like it. It's incredible.
I'll tell you who's going to be really bad. Your Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
They're going to be a bad team.
Out for the year.
Yeah.
Fans are livid. Sell the team. They didn't. The games aren't on television. Not trying. That is 33-1.
For worst.
But the win total is in the low 70s.
Here's a bet that I'll give you that JVT brought up on the podcast. Now, the White Sox win total is very low. But to finish in fourth place in that division, assuming, again, what we're talking about with the Twins, by the way, could they be major sellers at the deadline?
Mm-hmm.
Just, again, we're built for the future. Their win total is 7 behind Minnesota. and they're 4-1 to finish in fourth place. They're not going to finish ahead of the Tigers or the Royals, and probably not going to finish ahead of the Guardians.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't mind that season-long bet either. And the Tigers are going to be a unit probably this year. They are. You can still get them at 25-1 to win the World Series.
Does the same thing happen with the Dodgers? They're -210 most wins. Is it just, okay, we'll win 102 and that's it?
Are they Oklahoma City, basically?
Yeah.
Or what Oklahoma City would have been this year without injuries?
They had a tough break with the injuries last year with the rotation. But if the Dodgers stay healthy, I mean, it's ridiculous. The Yankees are the second choice at 12-1. I mean, it's a runaway.
I know.
But these other teams are all bunched up, too. Mets are going to be good. Toronto's going to be good. Seattle's going to be good. Philly, Atlanta.
I think the Rangers are going to be very good. By the way, I went into the...
How aggressive?
Oh, 90-plus wins?
You think? Whoa,
that's
really?
It's going to come down to the Rangers and the Mariners for that division.
Okay.
And by the way, I thought the Rangers were a team to absolutely circle. And then I listened to the podcast, and Burke confirmed it. Like, he said he loved what they did in the... I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, all right.
I liked them already. So I also... Like, how many players can win the most home runs hit this year? I have a flyer on Suarez. We talked about that after he signed with the Reds. But doesn't it really come down to... Again, if they stay healthy, Judge, Schwarber... Otani's going to pitch a lot more this year, so I'd be concerned with that. But I thought about doing a parlay, and that is Scotty to win the Masters into like Judge most home runs, which I think is 17-1. And if Scotty comes home and wins the Masters, then you have a ticket on Judge at 17-1. And then it goes up from there. If you wanted to parlay like Scotty to win the Masters into Schwarber, that'd be a nice number, huge number, or maybe Otani. But I don't know if I want to be involved with Otani this year. Save this, by the way, Luke, when I say this right now, with the most home runs, if he's going to be pitching, you know, 100-plus innings this year. And then he'll go out and hit 61 and be like, hey, remember when you mocked me before and I rubbed your face in it like a dog who pees when you first come home? Here you are again. So
Pete Alonso?
Oh, with Baltimore?
Yeah, 12-1.
I'd need a little bit more.
Could it be a weird year? Maybe 52 gets it done?
Well, is Raleigh going to repeat?
That's going to be tough.
I can't imagine he's going to have... No. That's a career year out of him.
Yeah, yeah. But I like your Suarez and your Alvarez. Not bad.
Okay.
Makes sense, yeah.
But I think Suarez, he's got 50 home run power.
Yeah.
I took some on him, most RBIs as well. I think that was 60-1, 80-1. I got to go back and double check.
You can't bet... You see the price with this Otani stuff, but maybe you go back and just say you have to bet Otani every year, MVP, and you got to bet Skeens every year, Cy Young.
Yeah, that's... I don't even really want to try to find anybody in the NL Cy Young market. Because, like, defeating him, you might have a guy who has a great case. Like, Sanchez had a great case last year, and some of the numbers on him before and during the season were humongous.
Yeah.
But Skeens just ran away with it.
And certainly Yamamoto at 5-1 is not enough. And Hunter Green at 10-1 is not enough.
No. He's hurt all the time.
Yeah, right.
But what do you think about Yamamoto most wins?
Yeah, the price? Remember the price? That's not bad.
I think it's still 16-1.
That's not bad.
He's going to have that run support the entire year?
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
I'm going to throw some Final Four future numbers out there as well. All still available at higher than 10-1 coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A lot of tweets to get to. At VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. This is from JT. Yeah, from what we've talked about so far on today's show, we were going over tanking a lot in the NBA, how to bet it earlier in the hour or in the show. JT says it will never happen, but American sports needs a form of relegation.
Yes, they do.
100% we do.
Oh, it's great.
We're badly missing that.
Yep.
It would be a total game changer, and people would realize immediately, oh, my God, this is so much better.
But the greed is out of control, and that's the problem.
Yeah, it is.
It's just, well, the league looks around, and they say, we're making so much money that there's nothing to see here, and they won't address the problems. Like, you can't be thinking expansion if you're the NBA. And also, you can't play. It's the same thing. Oh, we've always done it that way. They've never played basketball like this before. With the pace, and everyone on the court can shoot from distance. Mm-hmm. So you have to guard, and it's so taxing. You don't play. There is no reason to play 162 baseball games or 82 hockey or NBA games.
Agreed.
They just do it because of greed.
Sure.
It's outrageous. They should be playing 70 games. But an update on that, as Silver, this came down about 20 minutes ago, he met with the owners and expect changes next year. First-round draft picks can be protected only for top four or top 14-plus selections. Lottery odds freeze at the deadline. Teams can't pick in the top four the year after making the conference finals. Lottery odds allocated based on two-year records. Lottery extended to include all play-in teams. Flatten odds for all lottery teams. A lot of stuff that they're discussing and changes that he's going to make with nine teams doing this already.
I kind of like the idea of freezing the lottery odds at the All-Star break or deadline, you said. Same thing, pretty much.
Yeah. But this other, when he comes out and he finds the Jazz $500,000, it's a slippery slope, too, because one of the games they actually won the game. They sat everybody, but still won the game.
I remember that.
So it goes back to, are we allowed to play our young guys, though, too, and develop them? But the other guys, like a GM, I said earlier, reached out to Bobby Marks, ESPN. He goes, I will give the league a blank check right now, and I don't care if it's $4 or $5 million. If we get that top number one, number two pick, damn right it's worth it, it means to the organization.
We've also had a lot of overtime hockey in the Olympics.
Oh, this is what, yeah, so, no one, everyone agrees on this.
Yeah.
No one likes this 3-on-3.
Tweet here from Phil, 3-on-3 is a joke.
Yeah.
NHL playoffs 5-on-5 until somebody scores. They play their guts out for 60 minutes. Then they have instant gratification world that we live in. Here you go. Let's get a result immediately. Shameful.
So we just decided a gold medal in 3-on-3 overtime. Dan Wetzel, not a fan of 3-on-3 determining a gold medal. Fine for the NHL regular season or earlier in a condensed tournament like the Olympics. But this is everything for USA and Canada. Also, it can give a team a distinct advantage. Hello, Canada. Here comes Makar, MacKinnon, McDavid.
Yeah, true.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And they win.
And we're probably we have three games left right on the men's side. The way this has been trending, we'll probably get at least one more game like that.
People pointing out the Keller play and move doesn't happen 5-on-5.
That's it, no way that play happens.
And
absolutely
the pass
that does not
either.
Take place. That's correct.
Wetzel expands. That's the point. It's not hockey. This is like the NFL going 7-on-7 for overtime in the Super Bowl.
Now, again, as I said to open the show, that should be one of the most iconic videos that we're going to get moving forward from any like hockey thing that you're going to see, including the Olympics, because it was a stellar goal from Megan Keller. It was a 10 out of 10 again, but he's absolutely spot on that there's no way, no how that's going to take place 5-on-5.
Yeah. I also think it's rinky-dink, and you cannot decide a gold medal on penalties.
Does that? No,
I think you can't do that either. I'm with the listeners and viewers. You play till someone scores. And a gold medal? Absolutely.
Gold medal can't be 3-on-3.
No.
Immediately, like if you want to have the conversation about you have at least one more 20-minute period of 5-on-5, absolutely. I think we'd all agree to that. And then beyond that, if you wanted to bring up the point, then we can go 3-on-3. Okay, maybe. But you have to have at least one more period of 20 minutes of 5-on-5. Just have to. Mark is asking the question about Ohtani. No take on him, 30-1 NL Cy Young. It's the only award he has not won. I don't think the innings are going to be there, will it?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
No.
And Kyle says, when we're talking about the NFL schedules earlier, Paulie and I both are just like, what are we doing? They're going to play the game in Australia between the Rams and the 49ers to open the season. Might be come down to the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle says, give me Cam Little over 99.5 yards on the field goal when the Jags played the Colts on the moon in 2030.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, couple college basketball.
You actually like it if you're the Rams because it's a home game. When they play in L.A., it's all 49er fans.
Oh, true.
So you could argue that they catch a break.
True. A couple of bets that I made last night, college basketball. Again, I'm watching Arkansas and Alabama, and Darius Acuff is ridiculously good again. I can't. I mean, he's right there behind the very best guys at the top. Like, he's very close to Darren Peterson, who is the projected number one pick overall in the draft. Prediction markets were offering last night, will a Cuff be a top 10 pick? And the first time I saw it, it was at 54%. I'm like, that's an absolute steal. Tried to bet it. As I was betting it, it took at 61. And then as soon as I bet at 61%, it went to 76%. It's back down in the 60s. What has to happen for Darius Akuff to not be a top 10 pick? I can't even fathom what has to happen. The draft is loaded. He is clearly one of the best players coming out and available next year. So I took that. I did take a little Arkansas plus 1150 Final Four.
Yeah.
Your guy was telling you, was it your guy or was it you that said Arkansas to win the whole thing?
Yeah. This guy who, a big Arkansas guy who reached out in October. He says, get some futures on Arkansas.
So I took almost 12-1 on them. That number was still available before the show started. Again, you're going to have that guy playing on a neutral court. And hello, it's Calipari. He also has a ton of talent on the team. And I get my chances. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty decent number, in my opinion.
I got two things for you quickly. Number one, we've never seen this before, and I don't think we'll ever see it again. Miami, Ohio is 26-0. They keep winning game after game after game. They have, what, five games left, Luke? I think five games left. And they don't improve on the seed.
No.
They still are an 11 seed. Twice a week they update it on ESPN. Mm. And every time they're an 11. They don't play in the SWAC. So, again, it goes back to how we're forgetting how difficult it is to look what happened with UConn. So what? You're laying 15 points. You still got to go out and play. So it's not like they're playing a soft schedule. It's hard to win, and it's especially hard to win on the road. Are we going to really have a team that's 33-1 as an 11 seed? Or something like that?
Here's what's going to happen.
This is ridiculous.
Here's what might happen. This could be Miami-Notre Dame to make the playoff all over again. Where we heard the whole time, the committee says Notre Dame's better. They look at them as a more realistic playoff team than Miami. They don't like Miami's losses. They like Notre Dame's losses much more.
It begs the question, though, if they're 32-2, do they get in? That's the other
thing. Well, that might be
Akron's good, and they'll probably meet them in the conference title game.
But how that flipped at the very end where head-to-head eventually mattered, why Miami got in and Notre Dame didn't. If they do run the table in the regular season in the conference title, maybe that's when people are like, 34-0, they should probably be like an 8 or like a 7.
I'd rather be an 11, though.
Oh, so would I. I'd rather
be that 8-9. Well, because the ones are so good. I'm an 8-9, and I'm going to be a sacrificial lamb.
Would you rather be a 7 and get a 2 or an 11
get
a 3?
Yeah. Okay.
Because you probably won't be a 6 seed.
Yeah, 11s make a lot of noise, though.
Yeah, they do.
Luke, you got a play going?
You got two.
Got two for you. Well, the one tips off, though, coming right.
Yeah, what time is it right now? Yeah, we got 7 minutes. Yep. It's Maryland-Baltimore County plus 1.5 against Vermont. Now, Luke's plays are 29-10, last 39. He tweets them out all the time, at Luke DIV on X. He uses and goes by the numbers at Torvik, Haslam, and Greg Peterson here at vsin.com. And if all three of those have the same team favored, but the betting market does not, that's a play. So the betting market has Vermont favored by 1.5 tonight. All three of those people I just told you about, they have UMBC as the favorite. The other one is Drexel plus 1.5 against Northeastern. 29-10 last 39 plays. Now Drexel is plus 1, but still worth a play. So good job by him tracking this now for the entire year. Good results. Let me give you two other teams real quick to make the Final Four. St. John's can be had at 16-1. They're 14-1 in the Big East. And this number is still available. It feels like it's way too high. Virginia's numbers are very good. Virginia is 17-1 to make the Final Four.
Oh, shut his mic off.
Oh.
You're going Virginia again. Get out of here. All right.
We have a winner for today.
Maybe people are sleeping on it because of the issues that they had so many times in the tournament.
Well,
they would play South Florida in a 5-12 game. South Florida, sneaky good. Also a 7-point move on their total today to the over against Memphis.
We'll run down the best and worst teams. ATS coming up next. A bunch of teams in action tonight.